Well, hey, Gundam Maniacs, welcome to the Gundam Explained Show Live. I said that so fast, it sounded like I said gum show or gum shoe. No, but hey, I'm your host, Adam Blue, and joining me like always is Steven of Midnight Hatter. What's up, man?
Not a lot. Looking forward to tonight, you know, talking some more Gundam stuff. I think that there's a lot. I say this in a bad way, but almost sardonic, is it's like, you know, there's a lot for us to complain about.
Yeah, and it happens, but it's like we're almost doing it in a way that is for the best of Gundam. We're putting that information out there. But also there's some cool things to talk about, like for instance, the sponsor of the show, Art Rovo Gundam. Check the link in the description. Again, you buy two items, you get free shipping. I've been taking advantage of that. And like for instance, this weekend I showed it off on the stream, but I got the Master Grade GM, just a classic one. I've always needed it. And I got the fine tip, or I forget what it's called, metallic markers.
Ooh,
and
yeah.
So if you guys didn't catch the stream where I was detailing this, the Zaku 2 provided by Zeke New York, another sponsor of the show, which I think I have I thought I had an image here. Let's see. No, that's not it.
It's just going to be all banners by the end of this.
I know, right? I have to get them all set up. But no, I was using the markers and I was like detailing it. It was so good. And I was like, wow, that turned out great. So that video is up if you guys haven't seen it. But actually, before I start plugging all that stuff, let's turn that off. For today's show, something I'm going to complain about, but I think it's a good little criticism. But also, want to show off a badass paint job for a certain Gunpla that I built just recently. But this paint job, I was like, dang, that's pretty good. Yeah. I'm going to show off some other stuff. You know, and that's the thing. Like, I almost feel bad. Like, you know, gluttony, one of the sins or whatever. I feel like, it's funny, this past week I've gotten a lot of stuff. I'm very thankful for it, but I also feel bad. But I want to share with everyone. And it's a lot of it is things that people have been kind enough to provide for me. And really, in turn, I'm making content to show off some things. I think that'll be fun. Steven, your show yesterday was cool. If you guys didn't check it out, because we actually went over all the Gundam Build World Cup winners from the Richmond.
So like Pixelly and two of the other local builders there. So that's, you know, it's been cool the last several weeks. You know, all over on my show, we've been talking about the Gundam Builder World Cup, you know, because, you know, obviously it's Coop from the Undergated podcast.
Yeah.
Took home his local win. Gunpla Luke over in Oklahoma took home a local. And it's funny because I swear that Hobby Town must be listening to us, because I don't know if you saw that, like Bandai Hobby US over on Instagram actually made a post recognizing all of the local winners so far.
Wow.
In the GBWC. So it's like, because you and I were just talking about it last night. We were like, man, I wish that there was like a consolidated list of like, oh, here are all the local winners, and boom, they've got a picture of everybody's builds from across the country.
They must be watching your show anyway, because it's cool how we had, or you had guests on your show that, you know, directly related to all that stuff. And that's really cool. If you guys haven't checked out Midnight Hatter's channel, do so. It's like, this show is like the part two of, you know, our weekly Gundam discussion. Yeah. So, yeah.
It's always fun. We tend to tie things together really nicely, you know, especially like you said, with regards to one of these builds that we're going to take a look at here.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's pretty cool. So, you know, one thing I want to talk about real quick is I've got some new merch up, and I'm actually wearing one of the shirts. It's embroidered Gundam Explain logo. It's in there. There's also this one, that shirt with that on there. And then this I thought was pretty cool. Just a kind of a basic but interesting little design.
I love the subtlety of like the white on white with just like just the shadow to.
Yeah, exactly. And I just thought it was just a neat way to kind of be a little more interesting, creative. So it's not like, because sometimes I feel like a shirt that just says Gundam Explained, like, you know,
like what's a billboard point? For what?
I don't know. So it's like, I thought it would be cool. Yeah. Just make like a cool design, but also having the option to have that, especially like if there's a meetup, hopefully in the future, there's going to be a lot more of those, or, you know, like wearing it, like when I go to conventions and all that. But also, I thought this was cool. It looks like a uniform almost that I'm wearing. I don't know. I think it's cool.
When you open up the Gundam Explained shop and, like, you know, we all have to wear blue shirts with our embroidered name tags.
No, it's pretty cool. I'm going to try to come up with some other designs later, but I'm using Fourth Wall, which is this. I think a lot of big creators use it, and I heard a lot of good things. I was doing research, so I checked that out. But the other thing, okay, here's something interesting. I went to Hobby Lobby to get myself some matte top coat, and I found this, which it's okay. It's hard to see, but it's a lenticular, you know, sort of 3D very thing. Cool. And it was only $7.99. And normally I wouldn't hang up something like this, but one, it was cheap, and two, I feel like in 2024, finding some wall art that's of like the OG stuff with more modern designs, like even the white base is down here. Like, to me, that's cool. You would think it would be Wing or the Freedom, you know, but the fact that it was this classic stuff, I was like, you know what? I gotta get it. You know,
I love it. And honestly, the lenticular thing is something that's kind of fallen out of favor. Like, you don't see it very often.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's really cool, but yeah. It's almost like a kid thing, because you're amazed when you're a kid, but if it's done right, the artwork does look cool. But, yeah. You know, real quick, I have to say what's up to everyone. We got Spaded One, Ultronimus, Robert Westfall, Ace Cool 99, or Cole, sorry. Zionic Shadow in the house, another sponsor of us here. Let's see, Jim Kell X, the Goose is in the chat. So good to see you, Goose. Hey. And then also, what are some other things real quick? Again, this is that gluttony I was talking about, but I got one of these.
I can't believe you've got a pop.
But it's actually a big one. It actually looks small in the video, but it's like a big one. And that's why I got it. I was like, oh, okay, it's actually big. That's kind of neat. And then something else. Now, a lot of this stuff I'm showing off, I actually did live streams through last weekend. So if you guys should check out the live streams to get more information. But if you're part of Midnight Hatter's Patreon, there's some awesome stuff that you can get, like STL files to print something like this, which I love that I have this. I can't wait. I'm going to be doing a video where I'm going to paint this panel line, decal, top coat. Like, I can't wait to do the full treatment on this and have it with the rest of my display.
Dude, I'm so excited to see what you do with those, because, like, you know, it's one of those things. I've been making these STLs for a long time, right? You know, like every month we do something different, and it's rare that I get to see somebody, you know, do something with one of the prints. And so I'm like,
oh, true. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I can't wait. And then, yeah, you'd have some photos maybe to show off, you know, to people that are interested in seeing what they could possibly do. Cause that's, you know, that's kind of the fun I've gotten out of Gunpla. Like, sure, there's building, which we talk about, sometimes you complain about the building, but the detailing, it's almost like 3D drawing, because I love to draw and do detail. And it's like, so here's another thing I got. I ordered from Hobby Genki. It's the Gundam Universe Gundam EX or Gundam X. What are people saying? Gundam EX?
I've always said EX, but I don't know. Maybe it is just Gundam X.
Yeah, we'll find out, I guess.
And Jared Rand has something to say about that.
Who?
Garrett Rand from Gundam X.
That's right, Garrett. Okay, yeah, there we go. Wow, that's a good callback. I need to finish that. I'm on like episode 40, and it's like right at the end. I just need to finish it. But anyway, as cool as this is, it doesn't come with the shoulder mounted Gatling gun. Makes no sense.
What a weird.
Yeah, out of everything they could omit, like, and you know, this doesn't fold down. But I mean, you can't ask for everything, but. But then also, thanks to Sieg New York, I have built the high-grade version, which I will do a live stream sponsored by Sieg New York, where I'm actually going to go through and detail it.
I was going to say, same process that you did for the Zaku. I'm still trying to pick a paint scheme for the Zaku and the Gundam EX.
Well, actually, maybe that's the next topic. We'll show that. And right before I get to that, I want to ask the chat and you something. So again, I was watching Requiem for Vengeance again with my wife. We finished it last night, and at first she didn't really care, but I think it kind of grew on her. She actually liked it and liked the ending. Okay.
There you go. Suck it, nerds.
Yeah. But one thing I noticed when I was watching it fight throughout is that it is glossy. the armor on is glossy, and it makes me think I might do a gloss top coat instead of the matte. But I don't know. Sometimes the matte, I might look for some reference photos of other people's builds to see like what I might, and I could do both. You know?
Well, I mean, speaking of Zeke New York, you ought to check out like Dirty Diggler's work where he does the mix of matte and gloss coats. So like, I think what would be interesting to do for the Gundam EX would be do like matte on the internals and then gloss coat on some of the armor plates that you see on the top. And that way you get like that contrast between shine and.
Yeah, because it is built like that. You know, though, there is something I was looking at reference photos of the Gundam EX, and there's actually so many spots on this that are not accurately colored. For as much as they have these individual pieces, there's still a lot like that I would have to do. Like on the arm, the forearm here, it has the little gray, I guess, screw or what bolt, whatever it would be for the hinge.
Yeah.
But the area surrounding it is gray, just not on the model kit. And then on the legs, on the thighs, the front part, there's a lighter armor part in the middle. But around that, there's a light blue or maybe a blue gray.
Interesting.
Yeah. So if I really wanted to be accurate, which I'm going to try to be, there's a lot more detailing that would have to happen for this. So
interesting.
Goose is saying 7-Eleven colors. Maybe that's just what I do.
Yeah. Might as well. Going back to the Gundam from the Gundam Universe line, the Gundam EX. One of the things that Coop brought up to me from Undergated, and you know they've talked about this on the Undergated podcast in the past, is like, do you think that it would behoove the Gundam Universe line to have like the included parts to like have a build a figure?
Yes, I would love that. You know, in fact,
like back in the day in the Mobile Suit in Action, remember the only way you could get a green Zaku to was by collecting the set and then you would assemble one Zaku from.
I didn't know that because I never collected those. But, you know, they came out with that Gundam Infinity line a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it had the smaller ones and it did that where the Build-A-Figure, I think, was a green Zaku. And those were cool, but they're just way too simple. But I think Bandai has kind of hit a good balance here of making these cheap figures that are actually good. And I think Coop's right. Like having a Build-A-Figure part would make sense, especially
if Psycho Gundam.
Yeah, there you go. Like something crazy that.
Because that's what like Marvel Legends does. All right. It's like the figure you build is like the Juggernaut or something. Exactly. Like somebody.
Yeah. I mean, that's interesting because like I remember the Sazabi was a separate, more expensive figure you would have to buy, but yeah, having those, especially with like accessories too. Like I feel like sometimes they minimize accessories like this, not having the shoulder Gatling for whatever reason. And it's funny, like I'm like, so even Bandai made a post that these are going to start showing up in retail. Mm-hmm. And if they're as cheap as we expect, you know, the high grades being in the 20s, I would buy another one to then modify the Gatling to work on here. The thing is the way this is built, it has a piece underneath this that goes into the backpack. So I'd have to like cut that off.
Use
magnets. But I got to say, though, like, even though I'm making these tiny little complaints, this design is some of my favorite for me. Like in terms of a mech, an army machine military mech. Like I mean, I know some people aren't crazy about the design, but like this is the sort of thing where if I saw this and I wasn't into Gundam, it would get me into Gundam for sure. Yeah.
I think that's a good way of looking at it.
Yeah. Okay. I want to do a quick unboxing. Where did I put that?
It's like you've done some unboxings, some reboxings, and now we're going to do another unboxing.
I know. That's what I was saying. There's too much stuff, but guys, this is very important to me, what is in here. So let me show you. I mean, it's pivotal to building, okay? It's pivotal. So first of all, the matte top coat. And then I made sure to get another one. And then I also made sure, because you never know, to get another one. And then I, of course, had to get another. But then if I wanted to save on shipping, I got another one.
Just didn't want the first one to get lonely, so you got him a friend. And
No, but like between the Sinanju Stein and this recent Zaku, and there was something else I forgot. Oh, the Mark, the version 2 real grade. I just know I'm going through it real fast. And I think I finally like got a process down where I feel comfortable. Because one thing, if you guys haven't seen the video I dropped this week with the Zaku 2, like how I built it and all that. So it was raining when I was planning to spray the top coat on it. And I was like, yeah, I've heard not to do it when it's raining, but you know what? I'm pretty lucky. So I sprayed it and then I went back out and it was frosted over. And I'm like, I can't believe I just messed this up. What am I going to do? And so I researched online. One of the things they said, wait a little bit and spray again, like when the conditions are better. I was like, okay, that makes sense. Another one was wash the parts with warm water. And I'm like, man, but I got these stickers and panel lines. Like, what if I mess that up?
Yeah.
And then this other one, it was crazy. It was like, use cooking oil on it, let it sit, and then wipe off the excess oil. And I'm like, okay, because I've heard this stuff is really bad to ingest, so it must be good for
for lubricating Gundam parts.
And I kind of wish I did a before and after, although you can kind of see the back of the shield. I left some of it on because it was frosted over and it was like a miracle with that cooking oil taking off the frost.
Was it like an avocado oil or maybe like a seed oil? Was it canola?
Canola oil.
Okay. Yeah.
That, yeah. I was just shocked. And I noticed you need to be liberal with it because if you don't put enough, it doesn't really soak in. But if you put enough, it allows it to soak in, but then you have to wipe off the excess. And you have to do it in phases, wiping it off, because at first you don't really get it off. You'll notice your hands are oiling. But
yeah,
I'm just so happy, and I hope people, you know, I hope this helps you not like be scared to try a top coat, thinking you might mess it up, because then you could use this method to fix it. Because that's my whole thing. When you top coat, if you mess it up, and I've done that before. I've messed up top coats, and it makes you feel bad because then that kit is potentially ruined. Not necessarily.
Only if you leave it in front of the heater.
Yeah. Yeah. My GM3, poor GM3. What was that? What it was? Yeah. Where I left it in front of the heater and I was in a meeting and it just melted. I was like, wow.
Oh, man.
But yeah. So real quick, we're going to jump to what we were talking about with the Zaku 2, because you're trying to think of a paint job.
Yeah.
This, now let me make sure I'm on the right one. Yeah. So this could potentially be it. Sieg New York shared this with me. This is Julionius. Hopefully I'm saying that right. There's so much about this that is sick. First of all, the color scheme being classic Zaku colors, it almost makes the Requiem for Vengeance Zaku look more like a Zaku.
And you know, I think I would go so far as to say that a lot of the complaints that people have with the Requiem for Vengeance Zaku is exacerbated by the paint scheme.
Yeah, it must be. And it's weird because I noticed a big, like, almost off-putting difference. But, you know, I didn't really mind it, but it really is that. But then it makes me go back and then appreciate then more the Requiem for Vengeance one, because it's like, oh, they really stayed true to the look of the Zaku. It's just cool to see the different colors, especially if it's a specialty squadron.
Yeah.
You know? So, okay. So there's a bunch of things going on here because we're seeing different tones of the greens, which I think one is awesome. And then like, for instance, putting the gray or the silver at the bottom of the skirts there, to kind of help break it up. But then the amount of, and how they did it, the mud, the dirt,
yeah,
like, that really looks like. And then the base, you know, we were talking about bases on your
you got to be based,
yeah. And then the little dudes on there, which I need to get a bunch more of those. That just adds to, I guess, when I'm setting them up, just having
that's going to be my next like big 3D print project. Is I just want to make like 50 different like Zeon and Federation troops in different poses.
Yeah, I think, you know, like, is the reason I like Gundam mechs, mobile suits, is the whole, it's a giant robot you're piloting, like an F-18 or something. And so I forget that aspect of it, of like having the pilot. And, you know, I guess some model kits that has a pilot, but then I have to paint it, which I can do that. I should. It's just things that small. I'm just, you know, afraid I'm going to mess up.
Yeah. I mean, I'm fascinated by some of the people that do like really small scale painting. There's a guy on Instagram. I think it's Jutz A Kid Workshop, J-U-T-Z A Kid Workshop. And he only paints 1/1700th scale Gundams.
Okay. Jutz A Kid. Oh, right here. Let's, I'm following.
Huh. Look at that.
Oh my gosh.
Like, can you imagine trying to pack that much detail? And that's about the size of like a 1/1/44th scale pilot figure, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, the Lego. Okay. That's awesome. Yeah, that's right. I've been following this account specifically because of that. Oh, like they're like SD.
Yeah.
Because of that, because it's like when I find these other Gunpla builders that are doing specific things like this, it's like, oh, I need to follow them. The more I see it, the more I'll be more motivated or inspired to try it out.
Exactly, but, man. Inspiration. I actually offered to send him some STLs, and he was like, oh, man, my backlog is like...
Oh, wow. Oh, okay. I mean, yeah, he's got everything. Like, I just saw a crossbone. That looked awesome. Yeah, that's cool stuff. So one other thing. But about when you are working on your Zaku 2, what are you thinking you're going to do with it? Have you thought of any ideas yet?
So I am thinking I'm going to build it into a diorama of an occupied, like a Zeon occupied city.
Oh, okay. That would be cool. So like you would, for instance, have maybe some banners like over buildings or something.
Some banners. I also, I'm going to print out some custom decals that, basically I'm going to have like some posters and probably even like graffiti around the base of like some of the buildings.
That's a good idea. Cause I remember Requiem for Vengeance. There's that time where the camera's panning away from the building and you kind of see like the graffiti or whatever about.
Yeah. So I want to try and capture that. I might have to source some like good inspiration, like reference photos of like a real dirty downtown,
or
yeah, alleyway.
Watch, Red Dawn, you know, the, the 80s movie where, what was it? It was Cuba, but it was Soviet Union, but I think it was like Cuba, the 80s one they invaded. And then in, I think it was the recent one, it was originally China, but then they CGI'd in North Korea because they didn't want to make China mad. But I love that concept. I remember I was in high school when I first found out about the movie, even though, you know, I'd been out for a while. And it was like a guy at school told me about it. And then a bunch of us then planned to go to his house to watch it. And just the idea where they're at school and then in the background, like, what's going on? And you see these paratroopers coming down. I mean, and Gundam does a good job evoking that.
Oh, too. Yeah.
It's a fear. It kind of goes back to that Godzilla zombie fear we were talking about. The whole idea of being invaded. Like, now your world has changed and you can't do the normal things you were doing.
That's like, did you ever watch that movie Toy Soldiers? Not Small Soldiers. Soldiers is the one about toys that
become. Yeah, no. Is that with Robin Williams?
What, Toy Soldiers?
Yeah.
No, it's got Will Wheaton in it and a couple of other like really popular. I think is Sean Austin in it. One of those, like, it was a bunch of those young 80s actors, but it's about a prep school, like a boys prep school, and a bunch of, South American terrorists, like freedom fighters, basically take the school under siege because they're trying to ransom the kids off to their parents. They're like, oh, well, you know,
wow. I'll have to check it out. That's a good story.
Great movie. I think that like something like that set in the Gundam universe, like, can you imagine like a bunch of Zeon troops just like take over a school and then like the students of the school are trying to like fight their way out.
Okay.
And maybe they're not even Federation loyalists. It's just like, we're just fighting to survive.
Exactly. You know? Hold that thought, because that's going to be part of this Fortnite segment and gaming segment I want to get to here in a second, because that's good.
Accidental segue.
But yeah, before we move to that real quick, another shout out to Art Rovo Gundam, just because he's now, or you know, the Art Rovo Gundam store is now connected to Walmart, which is pretty interesting. Because
yeah, congratulations.
Because you can buy through Walmart, and if you have Walmart Plus, then you get that free shipping, and it's like 2-day shipping, which is pretty amazing. And even if you buy through Walmart, you know, they're saying you'll still get the sticker, the cards, which is really cool.
One of the things that I tell people about is, like, you know, there are programs through Target and Walmart where it's fulfilled by the seller, right? So like, so when you're ordering from walmart.com and it's fulfilled by Art Rovo, like, he's still packing that up and shipping it out of his garage. It's not coming from some like secret Walmart warehouse, right? Where, you know.
Yeah. And I mean, that's cool because I actually use Walmart Plus because when we buy our groceries, we do it through that. And you also get Paramount Plus, I guess. It's like the Amazon thing where you get Amazon Prime and you get the shipping. So, you know, it's keeping us on all these subscription services, you know. Gotta lock it down. But it is actually pretty good because, like, I could order groceries that will then be delivered within a few hours. And to be honest, it's pretty good. Except, and I wonder if I complained about it on here, when one day they delivered a completely different person's order and it was like for maybe a party and it was so much stuff and we called and I'm like, you got to have them pick this up. What's going on now? Luckily they refunded our order as they should, but like that's a waste.
Yeah. I mean, that would stink.
They told us to donate it or keep whatever. So that kind of worked out. We kept some of the stuff. A lot of it was too much excess. So my wife found this local food shelter that she donate the rest to. So that was at least that worked out.
Yeah, that's good. I mean,
so actually, that
it's cool that they that they're able to write that off.
Yeah, I mean, so that's another thing with Walmart Plus. It's pretty good. There are times where I'd get the order and I'm like, this is kind of wrong, but they would just refund it. But you just keep it, and it's like, okay, all right, well, so, okay. Something I want to move on to real quick is the Delta Zion or Zayn. You know, I've played the game, Silver Phantom. I don't know. So what's cool is this is another Delta, because weren't we talking about that on your stream?
Yeah, I've actually got the Delta Gundam 2 here from Zeig New York. Oh, God.
Yeah.
So I guess theoretically the same mobile suit roughly, right? Is this a Delta Plus or a Delta Gundam that the Zayn is?
That's why I need to do that video to compare the different deltas.
A Delta line, yeah.
So what's cool about this is how it has the silver look to it, and I don't know how they achieve that, if that's like a paint that they're actually putting on top of the plastic.
Yeah, it's probably undergated the way that like the Hyakushikis are.
Okay. So
I'm going to call out a little censorship on this one, right? Because I saw that P Bandai USA posted this, right? And I was going to add it to my story on Instagram, and I was going to comment on it, you know, hey, does this, anyone else get like Power Rangers the movie vibes off of this?
Because
it's like this, the reflective silver.
Yeah.
But they restricted stories. You can't share their post in your stories.
Interesting.
And I was like, oh. So, like, you're just going to shut down any potential criticism of your...
Yeah, that's interesting. Hey, Bandai gonna Bandai. We'll probably get some more of that here in a second. So, here's the thing. I really like this because I do like the Delta designs. I do like how it has that silvery look to it where it actually works on here. I am seeing that it's $78, but... I wonder if that has to do with the coating, because I do know that when Hasbro, they had to change the way they painted the C-3PO and the dome of the R2-D2 because it was too expensive to afford that type of reflective paint. So I wonder if that's what this is, and that's why it's a P Bandai. It's like, it is more expensive. We're not going to be able to do a retail release.
And they probably had to change it from a standard gate to an undergate.
Oh, okay. So then, yeah, different production, manufacturing. And it also has it where the pre-orders close March of next year. So it's almost like it's more like, I bet they just made a limited quantity. They have no idea They're just like, we don't know if people are going to pay 78 or not, so we'll just leave this open.
Yeah, typically they only have them open for like 30 days, right? Something like that.
And usually the only time that I think it's rare, I can't even think. You know what? That reminded me of something else I wanted to bring up for this show. So are you familiar with the fact that there are third-party companies that are pumping out GM Spartan kits?
Yes, I've seen those.
Okay. Like, you know, I don't condone.
Super cheap too, right? They're like $7 to $14, something like that.
Exactly. Like I think there was one I saw on. So they'll have, and I wonder if I could bring it up. AliExpress GM Spartan. Because, and it looks sick. Like a white dingo version. You know, and see, this is 17, but if you search around like this white one, I got to get this out of
line. You can probably price it out. Yeah.
Yeah. I saw one that it was like $6, but if you wanted it with a box, it was $8. And I was like, but these look so sick. So all they're doing is pumping out, which I think people will say is the best, like sort of mold that exists, is the GM Spartan, and just coming out with variants.
I love how they literally even used the same photo as the GM Spartan, but they just like photoshopped it,
colored it. Yeah. So if you were on AliExpress and you just search GM Spartan, it's everywhere, and there's different types, different colors. Look, I think this is great because, you know, when we were bringing up pre-orders, you know, GM Spartan was a big one that used to sell out and then it was available. But now if you wanted to get it, you would, you know, you could do it this way. And this is kind of telling. This is how much people want this kit and to army build the kit. So amazing.
Yeah. I mean, if I were working for Bandai, that would be like, all right, we need to mass produce this big Zam. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh yeah.
And I love that. I mean, just seeing it in the different paint schemes of like different GMs is pretty awesome.
I know. I totally like this a lot.
And you know, while I don't like condone piracy typically, well, the one thing I will say is you saw that thing going around on Twitter, right, about the third party Zazabi that was causing like skin irritation and allergic reactions.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's interesting because I have heard that some bootleg or knockoff or whatever you want to call them, sometimes it's, the plastic is toxic.
Yeah. So definitely be wary of that when you're buying third party, you know.
Yeah, because there's this other thing too. It's called CT Toys, where they're making Mafex figures are just as good. And I watched a review and it looks exactly the same. And I'm like, that's pretty amazing because people want this Wolverine, but it's, if you can get it, it's like $150.
Oh, yeah.
So if someone could pay, you know, 21, which I think when it first came out, it was even cheaper than that. So here's something I did. They had a, what are those ground high mobility type Zakus from?
The surface type.
Surface type.
Yeah.
I saw one. I was searching for one to get, and I saw it on sale on AliExpress. I was like, wow, this is cheap. It was like $11. And I'm like, okay, is this really the real thing? But for $11, I'm willing to try.
Give it a chance and see what happens.
Yeah, because
just give it that soapy water bath before you start building it and you should be all right.
Okay, so is that a legit tip probably?
I mean, that's what I've heard on Discord is like, you know, if you wash the runners before you start messing with them, then you should be okay. I think what you probably would encounter is that if you were to just snap build the kit, you're probably not going to have any issues. But you have to remember that a lot of the people that are going to buy these kits are typically going to customize them. And so like, even if you were to buy this, you know, Notfex Wolverine, you probably wouldn't have any issues. But if you're a Gunpla builder, you're going to be sanding this plastic. You're going to be melting it using, you know, your plastic cement. You're going to be using panel line fluid, all of these different chemical reactions and mechanical breaking down of the plastic. That's probably what's causing the irritation in people. It's not just handling the raw plastic.
It's breaking it down and whatever the cheap ways it was made. That's a good point. So yeah, because I guess with the surface type, I would do what I would do with most of mine, where I don't necessarily melt it or file, which I guess I kind of use my nail. I've noticed lately if I use enough of my nail, it kind of, you know, I got to get better at that. In fact, I even reached out to Luke about that, and I need to get back with him because I wanted to, because he offers those sessions, and I was like, hey, yeah. I want to try it out. But that is my number one thing I want to easily learn is, you know, sanding. And I know how to do it, but I guess to more make it a regular thing I'm doing, like my panel lining, where I'm not, because I feel like there's ways you could do it where I don't have to have like this whole swath of things, you know, like I've learned you don't necessarily need to go all out all the time.
You know? No, I mean, there's certain, I've been seeing like a lot of the ads from Ray Studio for the files that they make that are like narrower.
Oh, I saw that.
Cool. Because like,
good idea, you know, actually,
especially like for, this is one of those like glass files, but the width on this and the profile of it is so big that if the panel yep. or the panel, if the nub mark was like somewhere that was kind of like on an indent or a curve, I wouldn't be able to get in there and properly remove it. But having like a, you know, finer point file would help.
Okay, so then that's probably, I'm glad you brought that up because I think that's what would help me feel more comfortable, because sometimes it's so big where I'm like, okay, am I going to get the right angle? And then I mess up more of it than I wanted to. And I'm like, I'm just going to. So
yeah,
I did see that. It almost looks like it's an advertisement, but it's really just one of his videos, right? Where it's,
I mean, are any of his videos not advertised?
Good point. No, that's a pretty good point. Oh, here's from Lucas Garrett. Always wash the runners. And I've heard that before. Okay. Thanks. So real quick, I want to talk about Gundam and Fortnite. And again, I hate to be a hater. I really do, but I'm going to be a little critical. So initially I had reached out to the company when I found out who it was that was making this. And I said, hey, I would love to collab in some way. They're like, yeah, great. That would be awesome. We'll meet up. And so we had a meeting to talk about everything. They gave me all the information beforehand. And they were like, just don't tell anyone. And I'm like, yeah, sure. And then, I guess when it was timed, I was going to release a video. They're like, hey, hold off. Don't do anything yet. I'm like, okay. And then, I think they had like another, they were going to have another meeting with me, and then they canceled it. And then I was like, hey, anything going on? They're like, no, just hold off. Well, then one random day, I think it was last Friday, I'm working. And then I see, someone I used to work alongside with, that posted a video of, hey, we had an early look. And I was like, oh, so they got to check it out. It's like, well, since it's out, I'm going to go try it. Now, I've played a lot of Fortnite, but it's just Battle Royale. I don't know things outside of that. So my video, and it's pretty cringy, I go to join. Because here's the weird thing about this Gundam Fortnite mode is it's a specific island or map that you have to use a code to then get into. So it's not like you could just be playing it and then playing Fortnite and then there's Gundams there. It's like, it's a very convoluted process. If you know Gundam but don't know Fortnite, you're not really going to know what to do. If you know Fortnite and don't know Gundam, you're not going to care. And so, but since I was excited about this and I saw that people I'd worked with before are posting these videos, I'm like, oh, I got to jump in and make some content. So I did it. It wasn't live, but I just recorded in real time me jumping in. And apparently I didn't really, I kind of figured it out later on, but at first I didn't realize I had created, or I guess it defaulted on a private room. Okay. So when I was like, hey, no one else is joining, is no one playing? It was because I was in a private room. And I think a little later in the video, I'm just thinking to myself, well, at least I get to try the Gundam.
Yeah, there you go.
But that's where the problem is. You don't actually really get to try a Gundam. So it's 20 on 20. And randomly in the map, depending on how many things you capture, someone gets picked to be in sort of a first person view. Yeah. Of being. Yeah. And the camera, there's like four spots that you can look at to just fire your gun at. And then you get to watch them battle. So if you're on the ground. So yeah, the next day, me and my son jumped. He wanted to try because he plays a lot of Fortnite.
Yeah.
We tried it. For him, it was like, oh, well, that's cool to see, but he never even went back to it. There was like no reason. And I'm so So it's cool to see the Zaku 2 and the Gundam EX battling. And in fact, this developer, North Look World, they do these cool things where they do create these interesting game types. And that's actually a cool thing on its own.
I was going to say there's a lot to unpack with that, because, like, isn't it weird now that you have publishers / developers that they're not making games? They're literally making games within existing games. Like,
exactly. And they've done a whole lot of stuff that's actually really
that cool. That's been good, yeah.
And I wouldn't even say that this is bad. Like, in fact, if you don't know Gundam, like, this is a neat thing where you have these giant robots that, you know, so that's the problem. And I think that had to have started at Bandai. It's where they are not really treating Gundam with this regard of its relevancy, you know, and what it's known for. It's so I would expect more, at least skins in Fortnite, for the idea of, hey, we're just as cool as Spider-Man, Marvel, or, you know, what are some other Ash? You know, I have the Ash skin. I love that.
Well, and then at least you get to use it in other game modes. You wouldn't. And then people are like, to just.
Yeah. So then people are like, oh, what's this? It's like, oh, it's a Gundam. What's a Gundam? It's like, I don't know. It's the skin I got. I looked it up, and there's these shows and movies. But that then doesn't happen. So it's like, I'm thinking, what is it Bandai was thinking would happen with this? You know, it's, I, again, I don't want to hate on the developers that did this.
No.
But from Bandai, you know, what were they thinking? Because.
And Bandai at any point could have said, like, you know, because again, to your point, it's not the developer's fault. They just did what they were going to do. And then it's like, it's on Bandai to say yes or no. And they were like, yeah, that looks great.
Yeah. And it's confusing, especially like when I was working closely with Bandai, when they would nitpick at things to be like, no, we need to show respect for Gundam. Gundam is something important. We can't just throw it into something. And so when I see this, I'm like, this is exactly what they did. And I guess it's like,
maybe it's when the right person says, let's just throw it into something. Then
I know the person in charge, you know, is just like, hey guys, do this. And it's like, okay. And you know, it's disappointing because then I look at another big franchise I really like, and you know, they call Gundam the Star Wars of Japan, and look at like Star Wars Outlaws that came out this year. I think there's a lot of grifting hate on it that it doesn't deserve. I think it's a great game, but even the Jedi Survivor series is huge. They're treating the property with the respect it deserves. Like, and I would even say Code Fury was kind of the last of that. It's just, even then they skimped on the budget because it sold so bad that when they ported GBO2 to PC, they didn't even think it was worth porting Code Fury. So they just made the suits as DLC. That's how bad it did. And again, it's like, gaming is the new medium for this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So, and then like GBO2 is an interesting example because I think GBO2 has a killer system. Like, it's just great, but not that many people actually play it compared to what they would want. It's just that it has the gacha element. So right. Then they're making money off of that, which actually in its own way is cool. I consider that a niche product, like Gundam Breaker 4. Gundam Breaker 4, they have an audience. Like, there's people that are going to buy Gundam Breaker because it's Gundam Breaker. They know what they're going to get out of it.
Yeah.
But Bandai Namco also publishes Elden Ring. And it's like, look, there is an opportunity here to take the almost, it's still about 50 years of Gundam storytelling, create a unique, you know, even if it's reimagining or not reimagining, but retelling of a Gundam story. And
yeah.
You know, giving it the controls it needs, because that's the interesting story element in Gundam, is when a character is piloting a Gundam for the first time and it's hard to figure it out. If you play a Souls game for the first time, you're trying to figure out the controls. Mastering it is part of that gameplay experience.
I mean, shoot, dying in Bloodborne is the first thing that you have to do.
Yeah. And so I think that is like the most obvious, but the missing part of making a Gundam game is providing what we already see works. People will complain about games being hard, but if they're fair, they work. And I think the Souls games are an example of that, where these are fair in difficult games. Yeah. And so I wanted to go back to what you're bringing up earlier, like with the taking over places, because when I was thinking of like, well, what would be a good setting to tell a story in an open world style, you know, Gundam game, you know, you and I have talked about this stuff forever.
Yeah.
But something that came to me would be if it maybe take place in a colony, a single colony that is at a tug of war between Federation and Zeon, and you choose which one you want to be. And I like the idea. We see these in games though, but it's like, maybe there's a certain sector of buildings that you go and you take over, and then you see the banners come down of Federation or Zeon. You know, I would like, you know, it would be cool too, to get out of your suit and walk around, you know, for some, maybe like the character story parts.
Kind of like if you remember like the Infamous games where it was like, you know, you would take over different city blocks, and then like the people in that area would either like help you or fight against you, depending on whether you're good or evil.
Right.
And,
Yeah. And, you know, remind me of the Just Cause games too, because that's like you're liberating.
Perfect example. Yeah.
Have like,
awesome.
Yeah. I know. I think it was like the third or fourth one they introduced a mech that you can use. And then that game had flying around. And so it's just, to me, it's bizarre with how they want to treat the brand, how they say they want to treat the brand of Gundam, especially in video games. And they have yet to really create that, because I think another thing that I think gamers would love is when they're like going to get a mech game, but it's like, you know, you see how much people like Armored Core 6, which I would argue, as much as it's about mechs, the gameplay itself is not mech gameplay.
Yeah, it's not like a simulator.
Right. Yeah. And I think, I was playing, and I've been wanting to talk to you about this. I was playing the Godzilla PS3 game.
Nice.
And it's interesting because even though you control Godzilla, the game is from the point of view of the humans. So you're controlling Godzilla, and then this lady will come over on the intercom being like, okay, Godzilla's here. And it's like, oh, here's a data point. Like if you walk in a certain area, she's like, hey, here's a data point. Let's capture some data. So you press a button and it changes the camera to be cinematic, and you're still attacking, but you're letting it build up. So you captured that spot. And it's supposed to get them more data, but it's really showing you do attacks. But what's cool about it is you move very slow, and you use the left and right bumper to turn. It's like it's what they deliberate. Did. Yeah. What they did with the controls is make it feel like you're this giant hulking beast. And what's also cool about it is as you do each level, you can choose different paths. And when you beat it, you can then choose to upgrade Godzilla, and then you start again. It's called Go Ashore. And then you choose your path. It's almost like a roguelike.
That's kind of cool.
So yeah, every time you go through it, you choose the different paths. So then you can get the different data points on each level, fight the different kaiju. And that's what made me think about the Gundam game, because the Godzilla game, and what's interesting is how much it goes for on the secondary market. I mean, that's how much people like it, and it's out of print, but the game makes you feel like you're part of Godzilla. And that's what's missing with the Gundam games. Gundam Breaker 4, that I think it's its own niche thing. It's for people that like Gunpla.
And it is a niche of a niche, because what you're going to find is that, you know, if you have an umbrella of Gundam fans, and then not all Gundam fans are Gunpla fans, and then not all Gunpla fans are going to buy Gundam Breaker 4. Yeah. And then nobody who plays Gundam Breaker 4 is not a Gundam fan, and nobody who plays Gundam Breaker 4 doesn't collect Gunpla. So you know that that's the smallest possible target market for your game.
Yeah. And so it's interesting that with the reverence I feel like they assume Gundam has, they have not bothered with this sort of more prestige, world building sort of immersive Gundam game where you're immersed in the story and you feel like you're piloting a mech. Now, that doesn't mean it has to be full-on simulator.
No.
But I think
GBO2 is a perfect balance of that.
Exactly.
Like, you already kind of have the half mech simulator gameplay of GBO2. If you were to take like Helldivers on the ground and then add in GBO2 mech controls, you have the perfect Gundam game.
Dude, you are so right. Yeah, dude, you are so right, because that's another thing Helldivers 2 does well is everything about it is the world building. You're on the ship, you get into the pods that get shot down, and then you land, and then you call in, like everything you're doing in the game is a world building thing. Whereas, you know, Gunbreaker 4 is, you know, you just kind of, and now they have it where the level, again, I don't want to hate on it because I feel like it's doing its own thing, but you're just mashing buttons to collect parts and then build. I would almost rather them come out with something where it's like, here's a Gunpla simulator where it's, you don't necessarily have to go and fight.
Yeah, why even have the fighting component?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I think it would be cool if they had, and it was just an online thing where you could be in a lobby with tons of people, show off your Gunpla, go into like maybe rooms with other people, and you can still walk around with it. But sometimes having to like play through levels to unlock stuff, it's like, you know,
it's just grinding for grinding's sake. Yeah. And you brought up a really good point with things like Jedi Survivor and Outlaws, is those are games that don't rely on the core story of Star Wars. They're Star Wars side stories, right? But because of the sort of semi-open world, like it's a linear story, but it is an open world to explore, you get to kind of get some of that world building that people love. Like that's what is going to make people fall in love with Gundam as a franchise, even if they're not a current Gundam fan. And what's interesting is you can go back to the origin of Gundam the TV show, and remember it was, you know, Tomino himself saying that, like, oh well, female fans of Gundam, like, they didn't care about the mech battles, they cared about the family drama that was going on board White Base.
Yeah,
and it was like, exactly, you know, you have the bones of something great here, like this great story, this great world that's built, but GPO2 and Gundam Breaker 4, neither of them explore that world or let the player explore that world. And to your point, video games are such a powerful medium for letting people kind of explore a setting.
Yep.
You know, you don't have to be shown everything. It's just like, here it is. We present it to you. You kind of feel your way around and figure it out yourself. And I think people like that. I mean, especially kids, like the generation after you and I, they love to make their own fun. So why take that away from them?
Yeah, exactly. I think, it would really help if they were to really look at what, and it's funny because it's not like Bandai Namco makes Elden Ring.
No.
They're just publishing it. And it's like, they know that's a moneymaker. Why don't they just do that in-house where it's like, hey, we know the formula that can work, you know, and hey, let's do it. Let's use Unreal Engine 5, make the graphics really good, you know, and make it where you feel like you're piloting a mobile suit, but then you can get out, you can customize it, and then do the open world things where you capture points and, you know, upgrade your suit. Like it feels like it's so obvious. And I wonder why they don't do it, because I can even think of other games that aren't like amazing, but they're at least like, I was showing you that Outcast game. I was streaming it that one time. Awesome, beautiful open world game, low budget, but the world feels great. It does things with controls. Like there's something when you were watching me playing it, there's like your jetpack and then you can glide, but there's also, instead of calling like a horse or something, you can actually do this horizontal jetpacking across the ground. So they add that the fun exploration factor. You know, so and
again, you already have that in GBO2 in the case of like the little jet packs, the little vernier packs that pilots can wear.
Yep.
You know, that would allow you to traverse. And I always say this is like when it comes to third person action video games, is that world traversal is such a powerful part of what makes a game fun. You know, for Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom, it's the paraglider and the free climbing.
Yeah, it that's a good point, because I think a lot of times games will sometimes try to be restrictive on purpose to kind of make you have to think about things. But there is something to be said about making certain gameplay elements easy or fluid. Or, you know, I'm playing Star Wars Outlaws again because they had the new update that came out.
Oh, and right.
It really makes the game feel, it's small details, but they add up. Just the movement, they made it where there's less collision detection when you're riding a speeder. So I can like just kind of quickly zoom around without like clipping a corner and going flying all the time like that. And it's interesting because what I would say is it's not like it made the game better. It made the game easier.
Mm-hmm.
And because sometimes easier isn't always better. You know, like for instance, the stealth sections, I did my first stealth section since they've changed it. And yeah, if they see you, you can then just fight them. You don't get caught and then have to start over.
That's cool. And I mean, that kind of goes to what we were talking about with like MGS5, where you have options for how you want to engage each scenario. Like you can go in and gun everybody down. It's a little more difficult, but like, I think that when you get too restrictive about like, okay, we don't want players to play in this particular way, so we're just going to say, no, you can't do it. Whereas a game like MGS5 does this thing where it's like, if you approach it stealthily, it might be easier for you. But if stealth goes out the window, it's a little harder, but you can, you know, there's trade-offs.
Yeah. You were watching me play that one time and I like died and I was like, well, I'll do something different. I just like went straight to the guy.
Which is hilarious. Cause it's like, you know, when I do stuff, I'm super cautious and I'm like, okay. So when I did that mission, it took me like 40 minutes because I'm like, okay, I'm going to choke out each individual soldier and like hide the bodies. Adam just goes in and it's just like,
yeah, I know. No, but it's cool. I think that's what's cool about those types of games. It gives you that, that sort of choosing your own adventure style
thing. Yeah, and player agency is
and great. I think, yeah, with Metal Gear Solid 5, you just made me think, like, what if you were Echo was, and you had to like go in and find out about maybe some new Xeon technology, but along the way, there are sequences where then you're in mobile suits, but then you're still on the ground. I mean, there's so much more and then here's another side of that. So there's, you know, the Gundam fighting games.
Yeah.
But they haven't had a new one come out since, and it wasn't too long ago that the one on the PS4 came out. And I think that also is a niche that is okay and that works. Like there's not really another fighting game that feels like that. And it is pretty neat.
Yeah.
But they should also do something like, you know, those Survivor likes have been really popular lately, like Vampire Survivors. It's like,
yeah.
That I think is a good example where, yeah, make a Gundam Survivors, you know, like, because that's just a way where it's a genre that's fun and you could go in there and be like, okay, well, what are some unique upgrades that you would choose from if this was a Gundam themed game, you know, like, cause I think sometimes you can't just make a game for the sake of it, like a hero shooter, you know, obviously it didn't work, but I do think you can take maybe you find something that might work. And I think
if they're a winning formula, and I think that that's what they did with Dynasty Warriors Gundam, right? Is like,
yeah, that's a good example. Which, you know, if they announced a new one of those coming out, that would be cool. Although I would still be like, well, when is the Prestige Gundam game coming? But have you seen the videos and screenshots of the new Dynasty Warriors?
No, I haven't. Okay. What are they up to now? Like 12?
I know, but the graphics are really good. It's like, I feel like when those games always came out, they were always like behind a little bit.
Yeah, they did feel like it was like you'd have whatever the newest Final Fantasy was, and then the newest Dynasty Warriors would be like,
oh yeah,
step below that.
And this one actually looks super modern, and so that makes me think that would be cool if then they leverage that engine, which is probably Unreal Engine 5, you know, for the new Gundam Dynasty Warriors, because yeah, that. And you know, the reason I like the Gundam Dynasty Warriors is because they're retelling the stories, but then also giving little options. I love the lore based stuff that goes on in that.
And I mean, that's kind of what you got from Gundam Battle Alliance, right? It's just, it was SD, and that was, you know,
no, that is I'm glad you brought that up because I feel like that was a great combat system.
It was a lot of fun.
But just fighting with these SD things, it almost took you out. Because then it was like, it looked like a cutesy platformer, but you were trying to do like combat. I feel bad hating on the game because actually I loved it. I put so much time into it, got all the DLC, but they made a mistake making it SD. Like, and I heard, I think Goose brought this up. It has something to do with licensing when it comes to all the different universes together. So
yeah, it's possible because I know that, like for instance, MS Saga on the PS2. Was all SD, and it was like the, It's the not Gundam Gundam RPG.
Right. Which I need, you know, and even Ultronimus was bringing up games, and it's like, there's so many Gundam games I still need to play that I will be covering on the channel.
Absolutely.
And also there's, you know, there was that recent news about the Seed game that's being re-released. So that's exciting. Maybe they saw how popular, you know, Seed Freedom did. They're like, hey, we need a Seed game. So hopefully that doesn't, but rant over.
I had to get that off your chest.
Yeah, I had to get it out because, guys, I love games. I love Gundam. And so there's this hole in my heart of a good Gundam game. And I'm not saying the games that are out are bad. I'm just saying the expectation of a Star Wars of Japan does not exist in the gaming world.
No, the itch remains unscratched.
Yeah, so maybe it's us that has to fix it.
If someone's got to do it.
Yeah, let's try to get some money together and fund a, no. I mean, yes, but it's not going to happen.
Yes, but also.
Well, anyway, all. That was a fun talk. Yeah, good show today. Again, thanks to, Art Rovo Gundam for sponsoring this. Also, Zeke New York for sponsoring as well. You know, giving me this model kit. Stay tuned for this weekend where I'm going to go through and detail it live. So that will be a lot of fun.
Yeah, likewise. I think I better unbox this guy.
Oh, yeah, because that's a good one. That's, yeah. And hey, again, Steven, let me know. I know our schedules sometimes conflict, but if we can somehow sync up and do a stream, that would probably be pretty fun. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's all. I think I wore myself out with all that talking. It's gaming and Gundam. I love it. So all thanks. Have a good weekend. And yeah, we'll see y'all later. Peace out.
See ya.